Our scripture reading for this morning is found in Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, and beginning with verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head with me for a minute? Enlighten our minds this morning, we pray, O God, by the Spirit who proceeds from you, so that as your Son has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, literally breathed by God into existence, even through the words and the personalities of the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament apostles. I'd kind of like to focus on those first two words of that passage this morning, all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, when we say all Scripture, does that include the writings that are held sacred by people of other religions? There are a lot of people that would think so. A lot of people would agree with that. And really, I would say that the common view in our country is that all religions really have one view of the truth, and really the sacred writings of every religion are just an instruction set for different kinds of people. So some people will choose one, some another, but basically the instruction set is just ultimately to tell us how to get to heaven. And it doesn't really matter which instruction set you choose. Now, other people would say, well, that's not really true at all. Only one of them can be true at any one time because they contradict each other. So only one can be true. And some people would say that is the Quran. Others would say some other writings and others something else. And most of us would say the Bible. But if every religion thinks that their scriptures are the truth from God, how can we know which one really is? Are there any indications that this book might be, let me hold it right side up, any indications that this book might be the Word of God? We ought to know that before we stake our eternal future on it, don't you think? And so, what I'd like to do is ask a question. I'd like to rephrase that question, I guess, and say it this way. Are any of these books replete with indications of self-authenticity? I would say it that way, I guess. Are there indications of authenticity in this book that mark it as being something written by the hand of God? How could we tell? Well, if I were to say to you, I just learned Spanish last night, and you questioned me on that, you might want me to prove it, and you might want me to do something like speak some Spanish to you, and I would probably have to say more than the limited Spanish that I do know, which is about the menu at the Mexican Village, but. If I was going to convince you, I would have to give you some kind of indication, right? And so, if God wants to authenticate his word, would he not do likewise? No doubt he would. And no doubt he would do those kinds of things that were mentioned yesterday by President Molstad in his sermon, and that is miracles. Miracles authenticate this word. And so, first of all, I would say that there is authentication at the time this book was written. So, for example, with Moses, right, who wrote the first five books. When God wants to get Moses' attention, what does he do? Well, he speaks to him from a burning bush. Well, that would do it. That would get your attention, wouldn't it? And he makes contact in that way. And then when Moses still doubts, what does God do? He says, throw down your staff, and then God turns it into a snake, right? He does another miracle until he finally has Moses convinced that he can trust God, right? Now, we see that time and again in the Old Testament. Time and again, we see those miracles that authenticate the Word of God at the time of its writing. About 5 weeks ago, I downloaded the Quran from the internet. That's why I mentioned it a while ago. I'll mention it again. You don't see, as you read those pages, any self-authentication. In the words of the Quran, you do see these words. You see this on about every other page, it seems like to me. It says, I am Allah, the merciful and just. Believe me and do what I say. Or, you know, that's my paraphrase, but it says something like that on just about every other page. There's no authentication. You want to ask, why should I believe you? Give me a reason. In the Old Testament, God provides 10 plagues to show not only Pharaoh, but his own people who he is and that he is their God. And he continues throughout the Old Testament to the judges and the prophets, from the walls of Jericho to the three men in the fiery furnace. He authenticates his word time and again. But now somebody says, well, come on, how do you know those stories just aren't made up? Because not only has God authenticated his word at the time of writing, but he included something that authenticates it to this day. And that is something that I have never seen in any other sacred writing of any other religion. And that is predictive prophecy that is fulfilled to the letter. Predictive prophecy, prophecies about Israel that later came true, prophecies about the Messiah that said where he would be born and what he would do and how he would do it, prophecies hundreds of years and even thousands of years predicted before the time that they came to pass and fulfilled to the letter. It's enough to give you goosebumps when you pick up this book, I'll tell you. In the Quran, it says, this is God's word, another paraphrase, this is God's word, and you better believe it, and if you don't, you'll burn forever. What a contrast. Now, certainly we would say that is true of the content of the Bible. We better believe it, or we may burn forever, or we will burn forever, But what a difference in the way that God presents it in the Scripture, because in the Bible, God first acts and he promises, and then he says, trust me. So back to the burning bush again for a second. Right? Here's Moses talking to a burning bush, and the burning bush is talking back. And he still has a hard time trusting God when God says, look, this is another paraphrase. God says, look, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And Moses says, I can't do that. And God says, look, Moses, I know you're scared. I've seen you hiding from the Egyptians for 40 years. I know you're scared. Throw down your staff. Moses threw it down, and it became a snake. And God says, now look, Moses, don't you think I can handle the Egyptians? God never asks anyone to believe this word in blind faith. All Scripture is inspired by God. He has made it plain. It is unique in all the world, this book. All Scripture is inspired by God, and this is all Scripture. And so when you think about it, you think about what God has done and how he's made this available to you and me, isn't it sad when we just leave it lying around? Isn't it sad when we read it and we doubt it so much? When we spend hours a day texting and reading texts but never reading God's text? Boy, when we do that, you know, we miss out. We miss out on the training, on the teaching, on the power, on the confidence that he works in us through this very word when we read it. Kind of confidence for living, and especially confidence for dying. I'll tell you something, I'm really glad God isn't like me. I know you're glad God isn't like me either. And I'm glad he's not like you either, too. And the reason is, I'm glad God doesn't have an ounce of sinful pride. Because, you know, when somebody snubs me, I want to snub them right back. But you think about all the snubbing that we've done to God. We just neglect his word. And God never changes. His love toward you is constant. We snub him, he still is constant. His mercies are new every morning. The blood shed by Jesus and the pain he endured ensures those snubs are forgiven. And the God who is described in this book is the one who spared not his own son to make sure of it, that those snubs are forgiven. This God is vastly different than any other. You can trust this God. Would you please bow your head with me? Gracious Father, who did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all, so that he might bear our sins on the cross, train us by your word, so that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in our Savior that we may not fear the power of any adversary nor any adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We have a prayer request this morning on behalf of Timothy Senecal, who is the father of Amber Senecal, who has recently suffered another heart attack and also has diabetes and is in general declining health. Let us go to the Lord, shall we? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, you invite us to bring our petitions to your throne, and you promise to hear us. Today we come to you on behalf of Timothy Senecal, and we pray that you would bring restored health to his body. Grant him, Lord, the knowledge of your grace that you have poured out on us through the work of your Savior, our Savior. Comfort him and the members of his family with your tender care. We also bring our request once again on behalf of Ruth Weber. We pray that you would grant ability to those who care for her so that their hands would be your hands, that through their efforts her life may be spared and her health increased. Uphold her through the consolation of your word, and we ask that all of this would be done according to your gracious will, confident that you will work all things for the eternal welfare of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.